We're doing sermons all this month. We're going to go along with the Bible school theme. Whatever Bible parable that they're studying in the back, and the introduction that she had, is what we're going to be doing this week. And in fact, this month, not only this month, but we'll carry this on probably through the rest of the summer because there are several parables to look at, but they have a basic way that they're pointing us, all these parables, and the direction that they're going for us. And the parables of Jesus were given so we might learn. And certainly the one that's been introduced to us this evening is that of the sower. And there's some background here to these parables that we need to understand as we come to the parables, the reason why the parables were given. First, there were some that if Jesus came himself, came to the conclusion, were not going to repent. You know, sometimes we get awfully frustrated, and I'll probably hit this point on several occasions this evening, but sometimes we get awfully frustrated when we don't seem to be able to get through to people. Right? We don't see a response, or we want to say to them, don't you understand what the world's going on? You know, right now so many things are happening in this world that are leading us to a rapid conclusion, I believe.
Story.
and give them a spiritual lesson from that story. So he would preach the stories. Of course, that would be a very common everyday stories that they could relate to, but then he would put his spiritual punchline on all these. And said the problem Jesus faced was that many people thought they had ears to hear, their ears had become hard of hearing. He's going to talk about that a little later on in this parable. Matthew 13, 14, and 15, and in that the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, it says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. The hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. You know, one of the things that happens sometimes is people feel like they're religious. We took a Barna poll, which I used and I quoted, and it'll be in your email tomorrow, a Barna poll talk about the people and the Christianity. If you ask people if they believe in God, it'd be an overwhelming response. But if they believe in God, why isn't our society better than it is? It's because they're not, they feel they have a type of religion, but nothing is getting through. It's really changing them. That's making a difference in their lives. You see, they think they're religious. And so, anything else that's introduced in their life runs against a very hard shell. That's not the truth. So I guess the parable here of the sower. So we want to look at the parable of the sower here, Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. And through this parable, we teach ourselves what we really are. Now, you know, I don't know how many of you here grew up on a farm. How many grew up on a farm? About that. Almost grew up on a farm? Okay.
Almost.
Okay. At least, some of you are familiar with the farm and stuff. And I grew up on a farm, Peggy grew up on a farm. You know, that's kind of our background. We can relate to a lot of the illustrations that he has given. You know, I understand farmers, you know. I read about that the farmer, at the end of the 19th century, it was hard out in the West, homestead and everything. He worked real hard, but he was widowed. And so he sent from mail order right, and went and picked her up. Yeah. They got on the mule and headed back out to the country to his little homestead out there. On the way, the mule stole. He was a dead one. And there go along, both of them riding that mule, and the person that mule stumbled a second time, he's a dead spots. A little further, it wasn't long, that mule stumbled a third time, and he said, that's three times. And he got off, helped her off, and he shot the mule dead. Yeah. You want more mule dead? His wife was upset. I guarantee she was upset. She started telling him, that's not right that you did that to that mule. He shot that mule. He looked at that mule. I don't know. For a while, and then when she stopped, he said to her, that's once. a guy with a BMW come running out in the country there. There was a farmer moving his cattle across the field. He pulled up and he said, I can tell you how many cattle you have. Will you give me one of those cattle? The farmer said, sure, I'll give you one of that. But he said, okay, that's all right. He gets out of his little BlackBerry and YouTube and, he checks his GPS and he sends and then he links into NASA and NASA then gets the satellite, and the satellite picture, and they get down there, and they send that back, and pretty soon, all these calculations come out back to the little BlackBerry, and he says, you got 1,257 cattle here. He said, that's right. So he went over there, and he says, I guess you can go ahead. So he went over, and he picked up the animal, took it over to the BMW, and he put it in his trunk. And And the farmer said, if I can guess what your occupation is, will you give me that back? And he said, okay. Just go ahead and take the guess. He says, you're a politician, aren't you? He said, how do you know? He said, because I want my dog back. Get out of here. And the same thing about the other, one of the things the real kick for a lot of people today is that organic stuff. Everybody looks the same as organic. So maybe some of you are in that organic stuff. As the man's wife is really into organic stuff. And so he asked about that grocery store, and the guy didn't quite understand. He says, you know, that stuff has all that poisonous stuff, that poison spray. He said, my wife, I kind of get some stuff in my wife, you know, and I'm always sure whether this has the poison spray or not. And the guy says, no, it doesn't. If you want it on there, you have to put it on yourself. So, anyway, farming is a thing that we don't know much about today anymore because not many people farm. There's not many family farms, in fact. And you pretty much have to do it even for a hobby in some respects when I was growing up. Because it never ever bounced out. You put everything into it and eventually you have your dependent upon the weather, the climate, the way things were, as to what happened in the field and what produced. And if you did very well, the government was right there ready to share your wealth with you. And so you still didn't do very well even after a year when your crops did. Jesus didn't talk in these parables. He went on then in Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9. This is a parable, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. As he went to sow, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was out, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded the crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the story was very well done by the puppets and given to us earlier. But that time we stopped, he can go on a little farther here. Now, the explanation of this, we see here that that tells us the person that is the sower is Jesus. This is one of the easiest parables to understand because the explanation is given to us later on in the scripture. Matthew 13, 37 says, and he answered them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Now sometimes people put themselves in that position of sowing seed, and that's all right because we are all supposed to be sowing the seed. But in this particular parable, he's talking about himself sowing the seed. And what is the seed that he is sowing? He tells us the seed that is being sown here, of course, is the Word of God. Matthew 13, verse 19, verse 8, first part of 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in his heart. That is what was sown by the roadside. So, we have the seed being sown, Matthew 4, 23. What is the seed that Jesus then put up? What is it that he sowed? He said, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, if you think that's just an isolated time, you look at Matthew 12, when it gets into the preaching of the apostles, but when they believe Philip, as a priest of things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So here we got a theme going. He's preaching or being sold here is that of the kingdom of God. Another verse about Acts 28, when it rounds up the conclusion of the book of Acts, Paul's in Rome as a prisoner, but he ends with this, that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own planted house and received all that came to him, and preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one was forbidden. So we see here that he was teaching things about Jesus Christ, but also the kingdom of God. So that is the core message, the core seed that Jesus preached, and it's the core message for us also, of course. So we look at the explanation of the parable here. The sower is Jesus. The seed is the Word of God. Let's look at the soils. There are four soils that are mentioned here. The wayside, the stony, the thorny, and the good soil that we have. And let's try to as we go along, answer that question. Which soil are we? The wayside soil. You know, this is. You know, it hears and does not understand. Matthew 13:19-8 again. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it. Now, one of the things somebody said to me one time is they were trying to compliment me. Well, I guess it was a compliment. But I received it as a compliment to some extent. They said, you know, what you're doing right now, that's really good. We really understand it. But when you get off on some of this other stuff, we just don't understand. And at first I take the part about, you know, how they like to get right now. On the other hand, folks, I'm not that deep. Anybody's been around me long enough knows that I'm not that deep. And so if you're not understanding what I'm saying, we're in a lot of trouble. And we need to probe farther and go deeper and find more things than what we have done up to this point. The challenge is for you to go with me when we go and look at these things, not for us to fall back and just stay with us a little bitty things. The elementary things is a little bit of what Hebrews calls them. We gotta move on from the elementary things. The wayside soil then hears and does not understand. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is grown callous, for ears and all hearing. They have closed their eyes, or else perhaps they might perceive with their ears, hear with their hearts, understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I would heal them. Then the birds came along. Here the birds, the world comes along, certainly, and begins to take us away. Their condition is one of being blinded by the world of God. They just did not see how that gospel could help them in their community. There are a lot of people who go through a struggle through life, and they don't have to struggle unless they do. They don't have to go through what Paul is doing, but, well, they just can't see how that gospel comes personal to them and help them. How do you give away, for instance, 10% of your money and expect to live, particularly this economy? Doesn't make any sense. Sometimes they look at the things that we suggest to them might help them in their lives and say it doesn't make any sense. But a life of faith doesn't make sense. It does support itself. It does take care of itself. So birds come along and they take the seed, they eat the seed. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, precipitated by their own hardness of heart, even if our good news is vain, it is vain to those who perish, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall not so caught up in what they can do in this world, if they can't see the good news of the gospel. The stormy soil, here receives with joy, Matthew 13:20. Now he says he was not rooted in himself, but endures only for a while. Matthew 13:21-8. And tells us that they just didn't have enough roots. They didn't go deep enough. When tribulation comes, he stumbles. Some people test the waters out, and all of them, when it hasn't come, when they're in financial difficulty, and they only have a few dollars left, and they don't have to buy a lottery ticket, they don't win on the next drawing, and then they say, you know, this isn't working out, is it? Because, you know, their roots have never gotten deep enough to properly understand. They expect it to be in that gift. You come and say, yes, I give my life to Christ, and when I do that, all my problems will be over. No, see if you have a new set of problems. Really? It doesn't happen.
But I think God is here with you. Everything that was there, that right before you baptized, you go away just immediately, and you were behind in payments on your house or something, and then I come to the Lord and I'm baptized, and I come up out of the water, and all those payments are going to be gone. Rely on those things. Those things don't disappear. Some things are new, some things are exchanged. The thorny soil, then, the ability to bear fruit is choked by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of sin, the pleasures of life. So how can these three thorns cause us to be unfruitful in God's Word? The cares of this world, verse 21, 20, verses 24 to 36, so be careful, or your hearts will be loaded down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day will come on you suddenly. Or come like a snare and all those who dwell on the surface of the earth. Therefore we watch all the time, praying that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, they have experienced the Christian life, but they still got to put the world. And they just don't and haven't gotten to the point that they can give up. Some of their worldly pleasures, some of their worldly commitments. And they begin to even rationalize those at some point. They try to build a different case for something sometimes. Because they don't want to give up the parts of the world. They still want to go along. The sequel of riches. Verse 26, 9, 10, and 17. But those who are determined to be rich fall into temptation and a snare of any foolish and harmful lust, such as drowning men to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some have been led astray from the faith in their greed and have pierced themselves through many sorrows. Charge those who are rich in this present world that they may not be haughty nor have their hopes set on the insecure riches, but on the living God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. If we only had enough money, it would take away all our problems. No, it hasn't been the case. I'm often amazed, and I shouldn't be, how many professional athletes who got millions of dollars during their playing career are impossible. They're worse off than some of you in this room. How can you go with that kind of money in your life? But you see, they thought that money could take care of every problem that they had. And so they used it that way. And now they have none. And no friends, you know what? Because they've only bought friends for as long as they had money. The flesh of this life, Galatians 5:17, the flesh, lust against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, that you may not do the things that you desire. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Don't you see, God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows the spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. So which soul best represents you? Well, we're moving on to the new soil, but here's the word in understanding, Matthew 13. It bears fruit and it produces. Matthew 13 and Luke 8, a fruit that one will bear, practical holiness, fruit of the Spirit, are some of the things that we should be able to see and be produced. You know, our important observation is that not all of us can have. You know, I got two apple trees in my yard. I went to look at them just to kind of gauge how much, out of pile I'm going to get off those trees. And I got one that's pretty much an observation. And I cut it down except this biggest one. So I was planting the wrong place. I didn't even plant it in a good enough place to shake. Then I have another that's not quite as large, but it is loaded with apples. Now, not everyone did the same amount. not against other contributions there in our group. Some are false, some sexy, some true. As illustrated in the parable of the talents, which we will have later in the month, some may be given more according to their ability to you, but God has given them. Whatever our ability, we should exercise it accordingly. 1 Peter 4:10-11 says, as each has received a gift, employed in serving one another, as good managers of the grace of God in its various forms. If anyone speaks, let it be as it were the very words of God. If anyone serves, let it be as the strength of God supplies, that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Well, this is what we see. Are you like the wayside? You know, I heard the gospel without being a Christian. You may be in the process of hardening your heart, so you know, it's not favorable. It never made a difference to faith. You're susceptible to world deception in some form, not accepting God's word. Or maybe you're like the stone on the ground. Responded to the gospel one time, but you're not really grounded in your faith. You'll wipe it all away when persecution and temptation come your way. Or the thorn. Responded to the gospel one time, but become too preoccupied with the cares of riches and the things of this world. Do not be eaten with their fruit. John 15:1-6 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine. Every branch in me that does bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're always pruned clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. As a branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so it is in you. Unless you remain in me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me, and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man doesn't remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I know I've mentioned this before, but when we live in Indiana, back in Indiana, my neighbor, our neighbor, was almost blind. He took care of his invalid wife. But he had a great, great work. And when I went out there to inspect his grapes up one day, very wise, it was like he'd been killed. He had kept them so clean. Well, it must be because of his vision. He just couldn't see what he was doing. Now, he's taking those bunch of efforts. You know what? Last year, those babies were just loaded. He shared some thoughts. He took what he could do. He gave them away. Now, and that's an illustration. The pruning process sometimes is not hurtful, but on the other hand, it produces a greater fruit in the end than what we could imagine in the end. If he were left alone like I did mine, it wouldn't matter much. It mattered much. I didn't learn very well, but. Are you like the good? Oh, up here. Respond to the gospel and are being fruitful. You demonstrate a good heart and understanding and patience. The word can make produce the intent and the effect in your heart, in your life. You have ears to hear, let them hear. Only the good soil is among you. So which soil represents you best? Which one can be judged? Romans 10:17, so let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May the Lord help us understand the parable and the story. May you rise to judge the soil of the Lord. Because you can't do anything, you find out where you are in the spiritual life. Farewell.